Well, today I will be continuing with my series, The Fruitful Life. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, you'll remember that we discussed love. We saw quite a bit about love, and really, the first point was God is love. If we do not love, then we do not know God. And his love is not based on what I do for him. His love is a choice that he has made to love us. A sacrificial love, a love that saved me and continues to surround me daily. That love, however, was never meant to be held on to and kept for ourselves. We are to share that same love to others, that same sacrificial love. It's a choice for us. It's not based on feelings, and it is visible fruit in our lives. People will know who our master is. They will know that we are Christians by our Christ-like love, our love for one another. So today we're moving on in our next fruit. So let's go to our passage in Galatians 5 and remind ourselves that the list of spiritual fruit that we're going through, Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Last week we looked at love, and so today that leaves us the topic of joy. But before I start talking about joy, I want to look at something that seems a little odd. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we say fruit in the singular. Why wouldn't we say fruits in the Spirit? There are many of them. There's nine. But we say fruit in the singular. Any ideas? Shout it out. One fruit, nine attributes. Need all of it to make the fruit. I guess it can be. Collectively fruit. Okay. One vine. All great answers. This is awesome. So you're right on. Fruit is left in the singular tense because they come as a package deal. However you want to call it. Is it nine attributes? But they all come together. We've actually changed a number of light bulbs around the church in Potter's House. Thank you to those that have helped with that, by the way. But I wanted to try a couple bulbs that I found online. I went to put in the shopping cart, and then I realized there's a problem. See, I only wanted to try two, but instead they come in a package of 25. So if I wanted to try one, I'm going to have to get all 25. They come together. I didn't have an option, other option. Some say that's really how the Holy Spirit works when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. It is a package. We want Jesus. We want the Holy Spirit. We don't get to pick and choose what He brings into our lives. Yet there are people who would prefer a buffet-style working of the Holy Spirit. I'll just go along and pick and choose what I'd like to. Love, everybody likes love. I'll take a good portion of that. Goodness, kindness, I guess that's okay too, but please hold the self-control. And peace, yeah, that's great a lot of times, but sometimes maybe not too much. But don't even think about putting patience on my plate. I cannot have patience touching anything near my plate. I have patience intolerance. You don't want to be around me. But that's not how the fruit works. We want Jesus Christ. We want the Holy Spirit, and we get everything that He brings. The fruit comes together. Now, does that mean that the fruit is ripe? All of it is ripe and ready to go? No. There's work to do, and it is to be done in all areas. Are some of the fruit easier or riper than others? I guess for me, I would say yes. It happens because God is still working in me and through me. God is still working in you. There are some things that come naturally to you, that they're riper. Those fruits are riper. And there's other things that the Holy Spirit is going to have to get out a chisel and start working. But we cannot get to a point where we begin making excuses of why we're not working on something that needs work. Excuses are the devil's ploy to keep us from the transformation work of the Holy Spirit. Patience and tolerance doesn't work with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. I've been trying to find a guest speaker for that one. But it's an area I can't make excuses for. Don't make excuses for the areas that you know you need to work on. And when I say work on, here's what I mean. The Holy Spirit, He guides us. He convicts us. He leads us to what's better or what's God-honoring. But the going and the doing and the being, those are our responsibility. That phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That's the Holy Spirit is leading us to the way we need to go. But if we dig in our heels, He's not forcing us. But let's get to our message on joy. Getting back to joy, what is it that brings a twinkle in your eye, a smile on your face, a laugh in your voice, or a skip in your step? I'm kind of a reserved personality, if you couldn't tell. So sometimes my joy, it might look different to you. How about winning a football game or a basketball or a baseball game? The harvesting of a deer or an elk or a bear or trapping a bobcat. Maybe it is the new iPhone 26 or whatever number it's at these days. I don't know. And, you know, I don't want to leave out the Galaxy either. I don't know what they're on, Galaxy S100. I know I'm way far back. Or maybe it's just buying something new, like a car, kitchen gadget, a gun or a tool. Maybe it's getting a good grade or finishing a project or traveling or growing something in the garden. What is it that makes you smile? Is that joy? Well, we have happy feelings. Is it joy? It can be us. But all the things that I've listed, they might bring happiness for a time. They seem kind of temporary, don't they? I mean, you think about a new phone. Pretty soon the battery doesn't last very long. Screen's cracked. No longer charges. There's sports games. It was a big deal in a high school game. But 10, 15 years down the road, even remember it. Now, there are some memories that continue on for a while, but a lot of these accomplishments or a lot of these things, they get broke or they get outdated. Accomplishments over time don't mean nearly as much. So when I talk about joy, What is it? What's the definition of joy? I think many of us simply think, well, it's happiness, right? It's a part of it. You look up a dictionary definition and it tells you it's gladness or happiness. One definition that I found stated that joy is a sense of happiness that is a choice. Isn't happiness a feeling? But then I was reminded of a song that I heard not too long ago from the group King and Country, for King and Country. And actually, they have a song where a phrase in the chorus is, "It's time to make a choice. I choose joy." But we live in a depressing time and place. We all know hardships in one way or another. Broken relationships, hurting marriages, accidents, illnesses, finances tight, there's suffering, bad or traumatic events, loss of loved ones. We can keep listing hardships. Is it really possible to have joy even when we just don't feel happy? Is it possible to choose joy when we're not in the mood or don't even sense it? Can we choose it? And I think part of the problem with joy is that we often think of joy as just an emotion. But there's more to it than that. It's also a place that we go to, a location. And this is something that I was learning just in my study the last few weeks about joy. It can be a place and not just an emotion. Places are where we go to and come from. Where is our place of joy then? Or maybe I should ask, where is our place of godly joy? I'd like to read from Psalm 16:11. "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." That phrase, "you will fill me with joy in your presence." We're filled with joy where? In the presence of God. 1 Thessalonians 3:9. "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" The Apostle Paul was encouraging the church in Thessalonica for being to be faithful or encouraging them in their faith. But it's interesting how he describes his joy. The joy we have is in the presence of our God. Remember when Jesus was born and an angel came and spoke to the shepherds? Luke 2:10. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" What was the good news that would bring great joy? It was the presence of God in the flesh had come and was born in the town of David. That's Bethlehem. Jesus, God in flesh, was here. His presence is here. And I'll ask the question again from a moment ago, where is our place of godly joy? We will find it in the presence of God. So, what is the presence of God? When I think of what we get for a presence of God is, number one, is to put our faith in Him. We have to put our faith in Him and make that commitment to Him. And He's the verse says, "I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone answers, I'll come in." When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, He tells us that He comes and He dwells in us. He brings His Holy Spirit and dwells in us. We look at the temple of the Old Testament, and we're told in the New Testament that we become the temple of the Lord because He makes His place of residence in us. So when we're talking about I want to be in the presence of the Lord, it's making God our Savior, and it's also making that time for Him. Maybe it's in time of prayer. Maybe it's in His Word. Maybe it's just sitting quietly, inviting the Lord to make Himself known to us in a different way. Could be a number of different ways that we are entering into the presence of God. And if part of the definition of joy is a choice, then we must choose to be in the presence of God. And that is where we will find joy. Does this mean that we'll be without hardships? No, we still live in a fallen world. But what we do is that we take our hardships and we bring them before the Lord. We enter His presence, whether it's in prayer or just time with Him. We enter in His presence in spite of the hardship, and it is there that we can find joy, even when it seems like it's impossible, an impossible time to have joy or to rejoice. Acts 16:22. I'd like to read that for you. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. This verse may not be specifically highlighting joy, but in spite of being attacked, in spite of being stripped and beaten, in spite of being severely flogged, which has claimed many lives in that time, so it was not good. They were severely flogged. In spite of being put in stocks and in chains in the center of the prison, in spite of all that, they were able to rejoice, to pray, and sing. I don't know. Sometimes we get too comfortable. Sometimes it's just easier to complain about little things. But we look at this, what they went through. They can still have joy in spite of all that they went through, because it's a godly joy. They remained in the presence of the Lord. Yeah, they were in prison. Yet in their worship and prayer time, the presence of God was with them wherever they went. When we remain in Christ, He's with us. We begin to see things a little differently. We begin looking at life through the eyes of Christ, and it's there that godly joy can be found. And it can be shared. The fruit of the Spirit is visible fruit, and it's fruit for others to enjoy. The apple tree doesn't eat its own apples, just like the fruit of the Spirit is meant to be shared and enjoyed by others too. Though we get a lot of personal benefits from the fruit, like the fruit of joy in our life. So we're not quite like the apple tree, but we are also to share His fruit. Godly joy in our lives is meant to be enjoyed by others too. It might be easy to focus on all the things that are going that are not going right It's easy to focus on the things going wrong, but bring them before the Lord. Remember who Christ is and what He has brought us. There's a joy that only comes from knowing Christ and being His disciple. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. Rejoice means to express joy, to express joy in the Lord. And it's interesting, I've known this verse probably since I was young. It's probably because there's a song, "Rejoice in the Lord always." So I grew up knowing this verse, but I don't know that I ever really paid attention to the context. We're told to rejoice always, but it's interesting. Paul tells this to the church, and it comes right after the Apostle Paul is pleading with two ladies who are having a conflict in the church. There's conflict. And Paul is pleading them to come together in the Lord. Then Paul's right after that. We see rejoicing. Expressing joy doesn't have to be that saying that everything is perfect in order to rejoice. They are to rejoice even in the hard times. Paul then speaks to fellow workers in Christ whose names are written in the book of life. That's what comes after this section about Paul telling the church to rejoice. And he brings up the book of life. And there is joy in knowing Christ. There is joy in the gift of life. And there's joy in looking forward to eternal life. Having our name written in the book of life is looking forward to an eternity with Christ. We can rejoice. One commentator said this: "The joy that Paul calls for is not a happiness that depends on circumstances, but a deep contentment that is in the Lord, based on trust in the sovereign living God, and that therefore is available always, even in the difficult times." When we're in the presence of God, and when we are trusting Him and content with Him alone, it is there that godly joy can be found, and it's available at any time. Yet what happens when we think joy comes from the things of this world? What happens if we think joy only comes from what this world has to offer? Well, the Bible has something to say about that too. King Solomon, he was the son of King David. He came right after David. But King Solomon was a king who could have anything or everything he wanted. And he realized all the desires and pleasures of this world didn't bring him joy. It might have brought a little happiness for a while, but it didn't last when it was outside of God's best. He wrote kind of a depressing set of scriptures in Ecclesiastes. I'd like to read that, Ecclesiastes 2:8 through 11. Here Solomon says, "I collected great sums of silver and gold, and treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire, so I became greater than all who lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There is nothing really worthwhile anywhere." In our culture, it's often understood that the more you have, the more joy or the more happy you'll be. And that's a lie. King Solomon had everything he ever wanted. He actually had more than any other king before him. And it all boiled down to being meaningless. You think a relationship with that boy or that girl will give you joy. Or even in a marriage, you might think that your spouse is going to bring you joy. Or a new car, or a new house, new fish finder. Whatever you think materially will give you joy. It's all meaningless if God is not in it. I'm not saying marriage is bad. Marriage is good. But if you think that your spouse is going to be the source of your joy and God's not in it, you will not have joy. It's all meaningless if God's not in it. We don't have to look far to know that that's true. Just look at some of the Hollywood stars and the gossip that's on social media or whatever else it is. But we'll see that Hollywood stars, they could have everything, fame, fortune, and toys. And how many are miserable? It looks great for a moment, but without the Lord, there's no lasting joy. Now, I wanted to mention a little something about depression or clinical depression. You know, our bodies don't always work quite right. Lots of things can go wrong. We have diseases, we have organs or body parts that sometimes don't quite function the way they should. Sometimes people suffer from chemical imbalances that leads to depression that can be treated with medication. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about joy. When I think about just being, our bodies don't sometimes work, I've got high blood pressure and cholesterol, and I take medication for that. I don't talk about it much because I'm so young, and it's embarrassing. But sometimes taking medication for mental health is just as appropriate. It is. Sometimes depression is just an imbalance in our bodies. There's also a depression that can happen for a different reason. Depression sometimes can be caused by a lack of trust in God or simply walking away from the true giver of joy. Sometimes that is the cause of depression too. There are going to be hard times when we all feel a little down. There are going to be times where we're grieving. God made us that way. There are times that we're going to grieve the loss of a loved one. It's a part of living in this hard world. But even as we grieve, we can find and enter into the presence of God, and we can be filled with joy, even in our moments of grief. Is that easy? Again, we're looking at choice here. It might be hard, but it's available. Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, going back in the Old Testament a little bit. Habakkuk 3:17, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. I think of a farmer or someone writing this. Everything that can go wrong went wrong. Everything. But when we go to the Savior, when we go to our Lord, we can rejoice in Him and trust that our sovereign Lord will strengthen us to walk through hardships. So how is our joy? How is our fruit of joy looking for us? Since Thanksgiving is coming up, I thought I would share a few things that you know what I'm thankful for. Oftentimes in my family, we're thankful for blessings that come from the Lord. And I'm thankful for my Savior. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the life I have today. And I'm thankful for the future that I look forward to. These are the things that I'm thankful for because they are coming from the Lord. I mention these because I wanted to share some examples of joy in my life in a practical way. First example, I have joy in knowing my Lord and Savior, to have a closeness to Him, and also joy when worshiping Him with others. Maybe during a particular service or a song or a message or something is going to impact my heart. I find joy in worship. I find joy in the Lord. When I'm reminded of the tremendous love that God has for me, there's joy. Even in the hard times, when I think of Christ and my relationship with Him, there would not be the joy I have without Him. Psalm 16:7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will You let Your Holy Spirit see decay, or Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. Second part that I mentioned is I have joy in my family. There's joy because I know that my family is a blessing from the Lord. I'm going to share something with you, some of you know. In my late teens to early 20s, I really thought I would end up a bachelor. I know what you're thinking. Me? A guy with such great qualities thinking he's going to be a bachelor? I know, but I did. Then Juanita came along and she swept me off my feet. I swept her off her feet. Something like that. And then there's the pitter-patter of little feet. Many little feet later. My marriage to Juanita and my family are a gift. Family, immediate and extended family. They bring me joy. I'm a blessed man because of the Lord. And I realize that our days are numbered. And me or my family are not guaranteed a long life together. But nothing will change the joy I have in my family and seeing us serve the Lord together. That brings me joy. With that said, being alive today and enjoying God's creation brings me joy. This is my third example, and I could list a bunch of activities that I enjoy. But just being alive and enjoying life, it brings joy. This summer I went to Alaska. And I know that God is everywhere all of the time. But sitting on top of a mountain and gazing at all the mountains surrounding me, I could not help but sit in awe of the Almighty God. Speaking with Him and praising Him for the moment that I was able to enjoy at that time and to enjoy His handiwork. God has so much handiwork around. The mountains may seem awesome, but seeing God move mountains in a church and in His people bring me joy. Psalm 92:4. For You make me glad by Your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of Your hands. A fourth example that brings me joy is that even though tomorrow is not guaranteed, at least in this body, I am guaranteed a tomorrow and an eternal future. I am guaranteed this through the promise of God that through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, I have an eternity to look forward to with Him. Psalm 95:1, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. We find joy in the presence of God and complete trust in Him and the works of His hands. So let Let us take him everywhere we go, that godly joy might be enjoyed by others. How will you share this joy that you have in him with others? How will you direct others into the presence of the Lord? And those are the questions I will leave you with.